Live from NPR News, I'm Shea Stevens. Senate Democrats have cleared a major hurdle toward passing the next coronavirus relief bill with Republican support, but NPR's Windsor Johnston reports that the two sides are still at odds over the scope and size of the measure.
Senate Republicans are proposing less than a third of President Biden's nearly $2 trillion relief bill. Majority Leader Chuck Schumer says it's not enough, and Democrats are prepared to move forward without their support.
We are not going to dilute, dither, or delay, because the needs of the American people are just too great.
The Senate is moving ahead with reconciliation, an arcane budget procedure that would allow Democrats to pass Biden's relief bill with a simple majority. In an evenly split Senate, Democrats would need all their votes to pass the bill, plus the tie-breaking vote of Vice President Kamala Harris. Windsor Johnston, NPR News, Washington.
Legal briefs have been filed in the case against Donald Trump. House Democrats say the former president should be barred from office for inciting an insurrection. Defense attorneys say their client is innocent and that the case against him is unconstitutional. In Georgia, investigators are looking into whether a prominent pro-Trump attorney who pushed false claims of election fraud cast illegal ballots himself. Georgia Public Broadcasting's Stephen Fowler has the story.
Lynn Wood is a defamation attorney and one of the loudest voices spreading lies and conspiracies claiming November's election was rife with fraud. He was banned from Twitter for promoting the insurrection that stormed the U.S. Capitol and had posts deleted from Parler calling for Mike Pence to be executed. Now, his post on social media site Telegram announcing a move to South Carolina has investigators asking if he was eligible to vote in last November's election. Wood is also in danger of losing the ability to practice law in Georgia for refusing to take a mental health exam. For NPR News, I'm Stephen Fowler in Atlanta.
The group of seven most developed nations is condemning the military coup in Myanmar. The G7 is also expressing concern about the fate of State Councilor Aung San Suu Kyi, who was detained on Monday as her ruling party was set to begin its second term. State Department spokesman Ned Price says the U.S. and its allies are seeking ways to hold the coup leaders accountable.
The Burmese military's actions on February 1st, having deposed the duly elected head of government, constituted a military coup d'etat. The United States will continue to work closely with our partners throughout the region and the world to support respect for democracy and the rule of law in Burma.
Thousands of Burmese demonstrators gathered outside Japan's Foreign Affairs Ministry today, demanding that Tokyo take a harder stance against Myanmar's coup leaders. A smaller crowd gathered yesterday in Yangon to demand Suu Kyi's freedom. This is NPR News. The remains of slain Capitol Police Officer Brian Sicknick lie in honor in the U.S. Capitol Rotunda. President Biden, congressional leaders, Sicknick's family and colleagues paid their respects at a memorial there late Tuesday. Sicknick was fatally injured in last month's insurrection. Authorities in Muskogee, Oklahoma, are investigating a mass shooting that's resulted in six deaths. From member station KWGS, Chris Belansky reports that one person has been arrested in connection with these shootings. Russian opposition leader Alexei Navalny has been sentenced to 2 years and 8 months in prison for an alleged probation violation. Navalny was arrested in December after returning to Moscow from Germany, where he spent 5 months recovering from a nerve agent poisoning that's been blamed on the Kremlin. Moscow denies any involvement in the incident. The Biden administration says it will coordinate with its allies to hold Russia accountable. The Russian government denies any involvement in Navalny's illness. Two FBI agents were killed and three others were wounded in a shooting yesterday morning in an apartment in Sunrise, Florida. Authorities say the suspect apparently took his own life. George Pirro of the FBI Miami field office says the gunman opened fire as agents tried to serve a search warrant in a child pornography case. In pre-market trading, U.S. futures are higher. Asian markets are mixed, lower in Shanghai. This is NPR News.
Support for NPR.